When Crystal was young, she exhibited many behaviors psychologists today would recognize as traditionally autistic. She lined up toys in rows instead of playing pretend with them, chewed on her blanket while staring at the wall, and had trouble understanding in-jokes and teasing. But she didn't look autistic enough to get easily diagnosed in the 1990s when she was growing up. "My mom actually thought I should get assessed," she says. "But my grandpa shut it down. He was all, 'No, no way. Crystal's such a good girl. There's nothing wrong with her. Don't even think about stuff like that.'" Crystal's grandfather probably figured he was protecting her from getting stuck with a label that would bring a lifetime of abuse. He certainly isn't alone in that. Label avoidance, taking steps to evade diagnosis, is a very common consequence of disability and mental health stigma. Publicly identifying as disabled does mean being viewed as less competent and less human by many people. As damaging and self-defeating as it can be to camouflage one's disability status, it is by no means a paranoid act. It's a rational reflection of the prejudices disabled people face. It's not unique to autism either. Many people with mental illnesses and hidden physical disabilities elect to avoid the mark of shame a diagnosis might bring. My dad hid his cerebral palsy and seizure disorder for his entire life. No one knew about his condition other than my grandmother, my mom, and eventually me. He never went to college because he would have needed to reveal his access needs to campus disability services. He only ever applied to jobs that didn't require him to write or type, lest his poor fine motor control be revealed. As a child, I typed up the flyers for his lawn mowing business because he couldn't work the computer himself. I only found out about his condition as a teenager. He sobbingly confessed it to me, as if it were a terrible secret, after his marriage to my mother had already fallen apart. He told me that his mother had made him hide his condition because it wouldn't have been acceptable to be openly disabled in the tiny Appalachian town where he grew up. Shame and self-loathing followed him until the day he died of diabetes, a condition he developed as an adult and also refused to treat. I didn't find out I was autistic until many years after his death, but he was the first person who demonstrated to me just how painful and self-destructive hiding your disability can be. He had erected an entire life around hiding who he was, and his defensive mechanisms had slowly killed him. Label avoidance was common among the parents of potentially autistic children during the 1990s because the condition was so poorly understood and demonized. Autistic people were assumed to be intellectually disabled, and intellectually disabled people were not valued or respected. So many families did their damnedest to keep the label off their kids' backs. Though Crystal's grandfather intended to protect her from bigotry and from being infantilized, he also denied her important self-knowledge, educational resources, and a place in the autistic community. Without consulting Crystal, her family determined it would be better for her to suffer and hide her neurodiversity than to have a name for her marginalized position in the world. The weight of this decision is one Crystal continues to deal with now, as an adult who was diagnosed in her late 20s. "Now I know I'm autistic, but I kind of found out about it too late," she says. "If I tell people, they don't want to believe me. I have my life together too much for them to realize how hard it all is. Nobody wants to hear now about how hard it's always been, always still is, frankly." At this point, I have heard hundreds of autistic people tell versions of Crystal's story. Some of the details change, but the narrative arc is always the same. A child exhibits early signs of difficulty, but their families and teachers balk when disability is raised. Parents or grandparents, who themselves have autism spectrum traits, dismiss the child's complaints, claiming that everybody suffers from the social stress, sensory sensitivities, stomach issues, or cognitive fuzziness they themselves experience. Everyone in the child's life views disability not as an explanation of how a person functions and what help they need in order to function, but a sign of damage. so they push the label away and tell their child to stop making such a fuss. Believing they are helping their child rise above a limitation and be tough, they encourage the child not to be visibly odd or to ever ask for assistance.